nothing on the century. And we are armed to the teeth. We're all working together now to make our lives mercifully brief. And school kids keep trying to teach us what guns are all about. Confuse liberty with weaponry and watch your kids act it out. And every year now, like Christmas, some boy gets the milk fed suburban blues, reaches for the available arsenal, and saunters off to make the news. And the women in the middle are learning what poor women have always known, that the edge is closer than you think when your men bring the guns home. And look at where the profits are, yeah. That's how you'll find the source of the big lie that you and I both know so well. In the time it takes this cultural death wish to run its course, they're gonna make a pretty penny, and then they're all going to hell.
And good morning. We are here once again with Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio. I'm your host, Paul Rowland. That was a song worth listening to in its entirety. We just heard a little bit of a To the Teeth by Ani DiFranco. Came out in 1999. Things haven't changed much. So on March 14th, coming up, the one-month anniversary of the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Florida, students, teachers, school administrators, parents, and allies will take part in a national school walkout at 10 a.m. across every time zone. And our guests today are involved in that on a local level. We've got Hillary Griffin Billick, who is hosting the walkout at Roseway Heights School in Northeast Portland, where her second grader goes to school. Good morning, Hillary.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And my other guest, Sarah Buckmaster, also has kids at Roseway Heights School and is also involved in this movement to protect students from gun violence. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Paul.
And I wrote here on the program page, we may be at the beginning stages of a full-blown national student movement to curtail rampant gun violence and school shootings in the United States. I hate to say optimistic in the face of what has happened, but what's happening with these kids at Stoneman Douglas is remarkable, and I think that's everybody's feeling mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. You know, the way these teenagers are speaking, it's so eloquent. They're basically saying what we're all thinking and we've all thought for years, but politicians have never expressed. And I'm hopeful that the tide's turning. So,
I mean, I hate to focus on one individual, but that Emilia Gonzalez. I mean,
yeah, Emma Gonzalez. She's
good.
Amazing.
Goodness.
Yeah, she was amazing.
And some of the others too. There's always, you know, people who are just sort of quote natural leaders or people who just rise to the occasion. But there's a lot of those kids are, it's kind of being spread out. They're all in such demand.
Yeah.
But they're carrying themselves remarkably well.
So inspiring. Just as a mother, you know, I feel like we've carried these voices and we've been speaking up and we've been doing what we can on our part. And it's really remarkable to sit back and watch these kids speak up for themselves. You know, as a parent, you want to do that for them. And then to see them to be able to start doing that for themselves is a pretty amazing feeling.
Of course, your own children are quite a bit younger.
Yeah.
And hopefully will never be put in any situation like that. And certainly wouldn't be called upon like these kids are, who are more of age as they are. But talk about what it's like to be a parent with, you know, in this the age of mass school shootings.
Oh, gosh, where do you begin? It's terrifying. As a parent, you feel so powerless. There's no words to describe how angry I think most of us feel, just furious. It can't cross your mind every day when you take your kid to school. Is this going to be the last time I hug him? Is this going to be the last time I say goodbye? Because this is just the reality that we live in. So I personally feel like I'm living in fear every day I send my kids to school. And I think it's really important that we all come together and talk about that. And I feel like a lot of parents maybe are nervous or scared to put those feelings out there. But I think the more that we talk about that, the more we can all work together to move forward.
And this is a call-in show. And I'll just say right now that the number to call in a few minutes will be 503-231-8187. And I would ask that, especially if there are any students, I know younger people don't tend to listen to the radio too much these days, but there are probably some of you listening, especially since school is out, which is kind of remarkable.
And they're streaming.
Good timing.
And they're streaming, that's right. Maybe... Anyway, so I'm sure a lot of people do listen to KBOO. I know they do. So 503-231-8187, and parents of students, I would ask people to give a little time, if you are not in those categories, give a little time and let them call in first. That's important to hear, especially the students' voices. Don't get to hear their voices enough. Of course... So you're both parents. You're involved in this. So let's just kind of get out there what's going on March 14th. If anybody has to leave this conversation, turn off their radio and get on with their day. So we get out. What's happening on March 14th? And just briefly, how you got involved in organizing this?
Yeah. So March 14th is National School Walkout Day. It's supported by the Women's March, and you can find more about it on the Action Network. And it's also plugged all over Facebook. But basically, it's at 10 a.m. Students and parents, faculty, teachers, anybody really who cares. It's a walkout for 17 minutes. So from 10 to 10:17, 17 minutes symbolizing the victims from last week. The theme is enough is enough. You know, the hashtag for this walkout is enough. And I got involved. I decided to host it because I went to the website and I noticed nobody in Portland was doing it. And I was floored by that. And so jumped right in. And now we've got people from other schools that are going to join in. And anybody listening, I'm encouraging to, you know,
sign your school up.
This is a really great opportunity for us all to take a stand. You know, it's a tangible thing that we can do. We don't get, you know, immediate response in these really scary situations, but this is something tangible that we can do together. And I think it's a great learning opportunity for our kids to speak up and use their voice.
So are you a reference point, or for anybody else who wants to make something happen, or would they get in touch directly with the Action Network?
You can sign up through the Action Network to host, and that's what I did, basically. So that I'm technically the host, but, you know, we all work together to make this happen, and I'm collaborating with other parents on how we want these 17 minutes to be carried out, what we want it to mean, what kind of message we want to send to our kids, and all those details between.
Do you have a rough idea how many schools already?
How many schools
already are participating in Portland?
I don't know how many. I don't know how many schools are participating so far. But I know within 24 hours we had 50 people already RSVP just through our school, and that's not counting the RSVP through the general website. So I expect it to be a pretty important, significant turnout.
And ours is a K through 8, so we're hoping that high schools get more involved, especially with, I feel like, this administration. It's kind of a, they're more likely to look at what's happening on social media or watching the news and the perception of how they look. And so I feel like that's what has given these teenagers the traction. You know, they normally when something like this happens, they kind of gloss over it and then the next news cycle takes over. But I feel like there's been so much focus on these kids that I'm just hoping it changes.
Yeah, encourages
other people.
I just want to flag that statement you just said. Normally when something like this happens.
The kids at Stoneman Douglas, they've grown up with this. And I've talked to high schoolers in Portland, and this is their new normal. When Columbine happened, I was still in college, and it was just shocking. But high schoolers now say that this is just common. I shouldn't say common, but it's not as jarring.
It's in their
totally
daily consciousness.
Yeah.
And so that really struck me when you said that before the show. I hadn't, you know, this is important for people listening. It's important for me to hear this stuff because I, you know, I'm so far out of high school that I have, you know, and plus the whole milieu is so kind of really different, social media, but things like these school shootings, it's unimaginable to me. What I can't even think back what I would have thought.
Yeah, and so it's easy, I feel like, for, you know, Gen X, baby boomers to kind of look at that and be like, oh, well, it wasn't that way when we were growing up. The problem must be with this generation or discipline or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those things are hard to quantify. And those things are really hard. It's going to take a while for mental health services or anything else that this is contributing to change. But this is something that we can hold on to. Gun control. And so I feel like it's a way for us to be like, okay, we need to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about that. There's obviously, you know, it's important, as you said, to do something tangible, to, you know, react to the situation and to, you know, in some ways seize upon this moment, you know, really in some ways, you know, give resonance to what the kids at Stone and Douglas are doing and what they've started. But there's also, you know, particular policy objectives. You know, obviously in Oregon, you know, with the certainly our senators and a number of our Congress people, there's a lot of support for gun control. So it's a bit of a different political situation than say Florida or a lot of other states. But you're doing organizing here. What are you looking specifically to say or to get out of, you know, this organizing and particularly this March 14th?
Just having the opportunity for us to stand up. You know, it's national. So I think I personally strongly believe in coming together as a community all around the nation and working all the way to the top. I think it's really intimidating. People think that we have to go straight to the top, and it just doesn't work that way. And so just uniting from, you know, a small place, and then we all unite together, and then we can build up and make a statement that way.
Let me just take up a little airtime awkwardly here. I forgot to tell you that you're going to hear in your headphones our engineer telling us if there's a caller.
Okay.
You, listeners can't hear that, but it's just it might be a little jarring.
Okay.
But getting that house cleaning out of the way.
Thanks.
The caller that our engineer Crystal mentioned might have been, I have that article right here, who's the Suzanne Cohen, president of the Portland Association Teachers, will be calling in at some point. And yes, I would like to let Crystal know that when she does call, to please let me know, and we'll get her on. But she actually went to, she's the head of the Portland Association of Teachers, which is the largest Portland teachers union, and she actually went to Stoneman Douglas, which is really kind of mind-boggling. She was a class of 1994, and she said she learned about the shooting from a Facebook post by a fellow alum, and I guess her brother still lives in Miami. Anyway, she'll be able to tell all about herself when she does call in. So obviously this, you know, I just want to get back briefly to what you were saying about how this is in the so much in the awareness of high school students. But you know, you're kind of maybe leading to this also, that the fact that they are so much on social media, I mean, who knows, they may have already, some of high school, you'd think high school students in Portland would, you know, a lot of them would be chomping at the bit to step up, both because, you know, so many of them happen in high schools, but also because they must have been following all this on social media, and they, who knows, they may already have contacts. Some people might even know some people.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see how this develops.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I mean, we have our oldest
children are in second grade, so they may be organizing. That would be wonderful.
I didn't hear you on my headphones. I don't know.
Me too.
So yeah, it looks like we have some callers. And beginning to them in a minute. Again, so I've got Hillary Griffin Billick, who's hosting the walkout at Roseway Heights School in Northeast Portland, where her second grader goes to school, and Sarah Buckmaster, also a parent of Roseway Heights kids. And they're involved in this March 14th National School Walkout in particular Roseway Heights, but mm-hmm. probably, who knows, between now and March 14th, I imagine a lot of other schools will get involved. And the number to call in is 503-231-8187. As I said at the outset, particularly if you're a student or a parent, and we'll also be hearing from Suzanne Cohen, president of the Portland Association of Teachers. Is she on the line? She is on the line. Let's bring her up. Good morning.
Hello.
Suzanne.
Good morning.
Yes, I was amazed to hear that, and sorry for you to, it must have been such a shock that you were alumna of Stoneman Douglas. Maybe you want to talk first a little bit about, you know, how that, bringing that so close to home, this epidemic or plague of school shootings.
I think just that, I mean, as we're all, you know, having it in our news feeds and on our minds and reflecting, it's just a little bit amplified with so many of my friends still living there or networking, you know, through various like Facebook, you know, groups from our class of 94 group and others, and just feeling the pain, as well as there's so many actions happening all over Florida, which involves much of my friends and family. So it's a constant reminder. I'm definitely spending a lot of time crying when I'm not figuring out what are the next actions that we can do.
And so before we get into a little bit, you know, what, you know, the Portland Association of Teachers has been doing on the issue of school shootings, protecting students from gun violence, what you in particular or have been doing or planning on doing, you know, what's it feel like to have... Just to see these students from your high school just stepping up in such a remarkable way to me.
It's really beautiful and heartwarming. It's everything that you could hope for from a tragedy. as an organizer myself and someone who's really interested in grassroots social movements, I mean, just watching these students absolutely be the voice of reason when we need them to, it's great. And it's really why I want to be absolutely in support of them and making sure that we're doing everything we can to support their message.
So, talk about what your organization and what teachers' unions in general have been saying and doing on the issue of gun violence more generally, you know, the issue of gun control, but specifically protecting students?
I think the question you're asking is a really good one, and I think the bottom line is at every level of our union, I don't think we've been doing enough on the issue of gun control. When these mass school shootings have taken place, there is the obvious and natural conversation about our own safety procedures, our own protocols, things that we may want to feel safer, mental health and counseling. And I agree that all of these are important and they are all a piece of it. But I think we can no longer, as educators or as a union, ignore the debate on gun control. It is absolutely an education issue. And I think for a while, you know, that there was that question, like, is this something that educators should have positions on or that our union should have a position on? And I'm at the point where I'm an absolute yes, at the point that we are practicing for active shooters as a regular part of our classroom routines. When we can visualize and practice this and have to hide in closets with our students, there's no way that this isn't an education issue. When high school kids are afraid to go to school, when parents are afraid to send their students, how can we not be talking about gun control as an education issue? So to answer your question, I think we've had conversations and we'll continue to have conversations around safety procedures and mental health. But what I'm hoping is that we'll start to really address gun control as a much needed preventative measure to mass school shootings.
Yeah, I hate to make this, almost hate to make this analogy, but, you know, I talk a lot about climate change, you know, so there's this issue of, you know, adaptation or, you know, fighting the causes of climate change, or are they either or? I mean, there's something similar about this gun issue in that people seem to be taking this as Sarah was saying, you know, the new normal. It's almost a norm, you know, a normalization of this, these things happening, and sort of now the reactions are, you know, there's trauma kits in school. There's, as you're saying, you know, the protocol for dealing with this. Now I saw this thing on Facebook post these bulletproof blankets, you know, in case. I mean, it would be laughably insane if it weren't so real. And then, you know, obviously police in schools, that's the authorities' stock response to these issues. But, you know, these things are actually preventable, and it seems like guns is the place to start.
Well, and it seems like it's skirting the issue, you know. The NRA is really powerful, and so it's good to hear Suzanne talk about the union, because historically teachers' unions, you have to walk that line, and they don't... They don't really talk about gun control because...
It's too explosive a political issue.
Totally.
And they have so many, they're vulnerable on so many, right.
And it shouldn't be partisan. And so, it's great to hear her say that.
Go ahead, Suzanne. I kind of interrupted you. Are you still there?
Oh, yeah, no, I am. I mean, it's exactly what Sarah said. I mean, I think it's a little bit of a risk for me. And I mean, I feel... You know, with representing Portland Association of Teachers, we are, you know, these snow days are getting in the way, but we need to talk about where our values stand and what we want to do and what position. And of course, you know, at the state level or the national level, these conversations will get harder because, you know, people are looking at it as an issue of freedom. But to the point that you're talking about, when we're talking about metal detectors to get into a school, kids going with bulletproof backpacks, mm-hmm. and blankets, I mean, we're compromising a lot of other people's freedom. And, I think there's some pretty common sense things that can happen that can just help make our schools safer that address the issue. And, I think politics is very much a part of it as far as the NRA is concerned and their special interest group. And I think we really need to push lawmakers to refuse contributions from the NRA at this point. The NRA isn't even operating in fairness to its own membership base. There's plenty of gun owners who are in support of sensible gun legislation.
Yeah, majority, yeah.
You know, and as you speak, and we're talking about all these security measures, and you know, one inevitably starts to think, well, how about budgetary issues and priorities? You know, we're having to spend all this money on that stuff. What are we taking away when school budgets are already strapped?
Right, and as a parent, there's a lot. I mean, it's hard to put that much on teachers. They already are, you know, overworked, underpaid, and then to just, I mean, when you look at Stoneman Douglas, they were so prepared for this. They ran active shooter drills. They are a safe community. And so even with all of that, even with being prepared and the teachers just stepping up, there were 17 casualties. Mm-hmm. So we can do all we can on the outside of gun control. But now it's Stoneman Douglas should show people that even with all of that, even with all of that preparedness, it's still not inevitable, but it's still going to be hard to stop if you have those guns.
And even the good guy with the gun being there, right?
I mean, false narrative, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, plus, I mean, are they going to be in the right place at the
right
time? Come on, you know.
That's not.
It's like some of these schools are fairly large and many buildings.
Right. And then, go ahead.
I was going to say what Sarah said is absolutely right with a lot of these safety procedures or other things that we're looking at, which, you know, I'm not, of course, is a part of the conversation. It doesn't end casualties, right? I mean, maybe it'll be a little bit less, but if we really want to say kids and teachers shouldn't be dying in schools, then we have to not have the gun enter the school building.
So the voice you just heard was Suzanne Cohen, president of the Portland Association of Teachers. You also heard the voices of Sarah Buckmaster and Hillary Griffin-Billick, who are parents of students at a Portland Public School students, and they're involved in this national school walkout on March 14th. But before I go further, I have neglected to mention another National Day of Action, which is March 24th, which is being organized by the Stoneman Douglas students and others. And there's going to be a march. What's happening on March 24th?
So March 24th it's called March for Our Lives, and it's supported by the students, but it's also supported by Moms Demand Action in every town. You can find out more information at marchforourlives.com. The time hasn't been announced yet, but it's starting in D.C., and it's hoping to spread and reach all communities across the country.
And I neglected to mention, you are involved in that moms group.
I am, yeah.
As well as the, I guess Moms Demand Act. Is that the same one?
It's tied with Every Town, yeah.
Okay, Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense and Moms Demand Action in Every Town, which the first one grew out of the Newtown shooting.
Right.
And the other group, the Every Town?
Every Town, yeah. These stemmed from when Sandy Hook happened back in 2012.
Okay.
And it's just really progressed from there. And it's great. It's a great organization, group of moms, parents. It's not even just moms. It's dads. It's grandparents. Anybody who really cares about our kids. And, you know, they focus on legislation and closing the loopholes and background checks and really moving forward.
So, Suzanne, I don't want to presume on your time. I don't know how much more time you're able to spend with us.
I'm happy to stay on the call as long as you want me. This is my top priority right now.
Okay. Well, let me just say, I think we have another call, and people, I think we can have two phone calls at the same time. Renee? Let's go to a caller. Go ahead, Renee.
Hi, yes, I'm a parent of a daughter at high school in Portland, and she's a junior in high school. Her entire childhood has been since, you know, before Sandy Hook even, but after Sandy Hook especially, this nonsense about not having any gun control in this country, and it's just been a gradual increase of fear that the kids and the parents have. I've been protecting her from news stories on TV for years, but then once you get into middle school and high school, they hear about all these stories, and you have to start having these conversations with your kids just because Republicans and conservative Democrats aren't acting on gun control. We had an assault weapons ban for 10 years in this country, and it lowered, you know, gun deaths. And after 2004, when the ban was not renewed, the gun deaths went up, and all these school shootings went up right after that. It's just terrible, and it's frightening. I mean, right after this shooting on frickin' Valentine's Day, my daughter was at school, and they had an accidental lockdown drill 2 days after, and she was in her study hall. And she had no friends around her, no familiar teacher, because she was in a study hall. And she thought there was a real shooter in the frickin' building. I mean, it's frightening. And I'm just done with this. Mm-hmm. So I support these parents, and I'm going to do the walkout on March 14th. Awesome. I'm going to do the march on the 24th. The other thing is, I've been trying to talk about this with other parents at my daughter's school for years. Mm-hmm. And they don't. They say you can't bring it up at the PTA meeting. It's too political. Yeah. Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, because at this point...
This is not political. This is just common sense safety for our kids. So I haven't had any... Mm-hmm. Mom, I'm still on Facebook trying to find... I was glad to find Hillary online here because she was the only mom in my neighborhood who's actually showing any concern.
Yeah. Nobody talks about just the aftermath, you know, aside from the shootings alone, but what it comes down to after school, you know, our own kids' emotional well-being, their worries. Right now, my son worries about monsters under the bed and, you know, going to bed with the lights out. That should be enough. And there's enough, you know, there's your daughter, you know, the things that she's going to have to carry with her and that will affect her because of all of this awful stuff going on. And as a parent, that just makes you know, it's hard being a parent, but let alone add this on top of it, I feel for you. Yeah.
And it's hard enough being a student and then all this stuff. Renee, before you go, because I know we've got some other callers, do you have any particular conversations you can sort of give an idea of we've had with your daughter or things you've heard your daughter say specifically?
She's the type that will just not necessarily bring it up, but sometimes she will, and we'll just talk about it, you know? Like I said, when she was younger, I did not talk about Sandy Hook or anything like that until the teachers had to bring it up at school, and then you end up having to talk about it with your kid when they're little. When they're really little, they shouldn't even have to hear about this stuff. And then when they get older, of course, that she's online constantly, so all her friends are talking about it. One of her friends said, gee, did you say I love you to your mom when you were in the study hall the other day and send her a text? And she goes, no, I feel bad that I didn't do that. You know, it's just like she was terrified just sitting there and didn't know what to do. I mean, it's just so I had the conversation about that with her. You don't worry about that, you know. And I sent her, you know, I found out 2 hours later that they had this accidental lockdown, and I'm at work, and I'm like, geez, 2 hours ago they had a lockdown, and I didn't even know, you know. And so you just sit there and go, what if this was real? Oh, my God, you know, I wouldn't have known, but 2 hours later, you know. I don't even know. It's just insane that we have to go through this. But yeah, I'll just bring it up with her now that she's older, if she feels, you know, if it comes up. But I try not to even talk about it with her because it's just anxiety inducing.
Absolutely. Well,
Renee, thank you for sharing that, and I appreciate your calling in, and I wish you all the best in finding, you know, allies close to hand, and especially at your daughter's school to, you know, to maybe take this a little further.
We can't even talk about it. Even if we're in progressive Portland, people don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. You got us.
People act like it's normal at work. People don't even talk about it at work.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this is.
I remember,
you know,
when Columbine happened, everybody talked about it at work. Nobody brings it up at work. It's just the new normal. Huh. Well, I'm sick of it being the new normal, and this is our chance to change it. Let's do it, Hillary,
absolutely,
and all the other moms. I'm with you.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you so much, Renee, and appreciate your calling. Maybe we've got another call. I really, the number is 503-231-8187. If there are any students out there, don't be shy. Please give us a call. We really would love to hear your perspective as well. Do we have another caller? Annalise, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Paul and guests. This is Annalise.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the best gun control is, and the best prevention is no guns. The Second Amendment doesn't apply anymore in these times.
No, it doesn't.
And if people want to go hunting or target shooting, there should be an organization where the people in the organization have all the guns, and if somebody wants to go hunting, he gets a license, and the people in the organization hands them out a rifle, and they have to bring it back. So prevention is the best. Hello?
We heard you. Thank
That's
you.
That's the best prevention, so thank you.
Thanks,
and
Annalisa.
Emma Gonzalez and all the other teenagers, 17 and 18-year-old teenagers in her class and in the school, they are heroes. And we all have to participate. But no guns is the best prevention.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
I'm not sure I particularly agree in a complete blanket statement, but I appreciate that perspective.
Well,
that's a long conversation.
Yes, and you can tell the frustration in parents' voices, and because we haven't been able to talk about it at all and talk about any sort of sensible gun legislation, no politicians have talked about taking guns away. That has never
been on the table.
That's not even on the table, but because we haven't done anything and it's gotten worse, a lot of parents are just so frustrated that they've come to what Annalisa's saying, that like she's just like, well, if we can't do anything, then let's then no one should have them. And that's not what a lot of these politicians are saying, but I can understand her frustration.
Again, 503-231-8187. We've still got Suzanne Cohen, president of the Portland Association of Teachers. Any reactions to what you've been hearing?
One thought that I had is, PTA parents, they should experience what their students and their teachers experience when we practice for active shooter drills.
Absolutely.
That's a good idea.
Once you understand that, you know, you're making choices about who are the last to go into hiding, who's pulling the shades, who's barricading the doors, and those students that do that are the last to go into hiding, and the teacher is the final one. I mean, when you're doing that and you're waiting in quiet and they practice the opening of the door and you have to not open it and staying silent until someone unlocks your door, when you experience that, I think at that point you're ready to talk about gun control. And that's where educators are standing right now. We're tired of hiding in closets that when there's better solutions out there.
And again, that was Suzanne Cohen, president of the Portland Association of Teachers. And I've got Hillary Griffin Billick and Sarah Buckmaster, who are parents of students, Portland Public School students, who are helping to organize locally the National School Walkout on March 14th. And as we also were saying, there's another day of action, March 24th, organized by Stoneman Douglas students and this Moms Demand Action in Every Town organization. This seems like so many people are feeling, you know, this moment. I mean, it's really extraordinary in the last few years. I mean, in a way, you know, since I got back into this country after many years in Italy, I experienced immediately the Occupy movement. And then, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement burst on the scene, the movement to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline, just a huge deal. This feels like a series of moments that are sort of disconnected, but there seems to me something in the air where everybody's feeling just the heaviness of so much of what's going on. And this is certainly seems to be a major moment for this particular issue. And I think that why we're here is that, you know, I certainly was sort of shocked out of my, what I've been having some complacency and lethargy and sort of shock from the last year of events and the political climate. And so all this stuff seems to be sort of thrown together in a way. And we don't want to, when we're focusing on gun control and stopping gun violence in schools, we don't want to necessarily talk about everything. But I talk about everything on this show, so I guess I can. But I don't know. I just feel, just watching these kids just break out, it does feel like something different. I mean, of course, there's always the possibility that we'll sort of end up like a lot of movements, the sort of flash in the pan. But I don't think so. I mean, what do you feel like? Does something seem different now?
It does feel a little bit different to me. I mean, these teenagers aren't old and jaded like us, and we've seen a lot of the buildup of and shock when something like this happens, and then people just kind of go on with their daily lives. I don't know if it's because we don't have time. We've got to cope. We've got to live our day-to-day lives. But these teenagers who've grown up with it, they're not jaded like us. They're not going to assume that politics moves so slowly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that it doesn't die down like everything else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's good to hear Suzanne. And I was actually hoping to hear if maybe the district was planning on anything in regards to the walkout.
Well, let's hear Suzanne's response. Do we have a couple callers? Just hold on for just a second. Do you have anything to say about that?
I do, and we're just very much in the forming stages of this, but in conversations with district leadership and including our superintendent, we are looking to do a district-wide activities on March 14th, including outside for 17 minutes to honor the 17 students. And so, of course, depending on age level and grade level, you know, each school community might work to make sure it's age appropriate. And mm-hmm. of course, you know, we'd be focusing on safe and supported schools, but that there would be a space and time dedicated on that day. And so we don't know exactly what that would look like yet, but, you know, arms linked around outside the school with parents and staff and students, or, you know, depending on the age level, safe and supported ways for people to participate on that day. I'm actually, you know, it's one of the, I'm really so excited to be working with our superintendent, Guadalupe Guerrero, on this, and was really happy that he's cooperating. I understand that other school district, Beaverton and Salem, I think, are working in conjunction with the district, and so there's still a lot of time to reach out to other school districts in Oregon and Washington State and you know, finding safe and supported ways to allow our students and educators and families to participate in this in a safe and supported way. We're also going to be organizing for Saturday, March 24th, to mobilize as many of our educators to attend on that Saturday. And we're open to ongoing conversations about other actions coming along. And I think, you know, to your point about why this feels so different, I mean, there's two reasons. We're talking about a bunch of teenagers who are 18 or turning 18 in time for election cycles, as well as a different generation. You know, when mm-hmm. Columbine happened, it was outrageous. It was unheard of. And so the adults, you know, these are all shocking events that, you know, we continue to think are not normal. For the students at Stoneman Douglas, their entire lives, this has been normal. Mm-hmm. They've been practicing active shooter drills. They've just seen this being accepted and tolerated by us with inaction. And I think that's what different, you know, they've just grown up in a different time where they're like, these are all preventable and it's time to do something about it.
That's the voice of Suzanne Cohen, president of the Portland Association of Teachers, who has kindly joined us by phone, along with my two other guests, Hillary Griffin Billick and Sarah Buckmaster, parents of Portland Public School students. Joseph, just hold on a second. You're our next caller. I just got to say, coming up this morning on KBOO at 9, Political Perspectives presents Sojourner Truth Radio and an interview with Professor Carl Hart about his book, High Price, A Neuroscientist's Journey of Self-Discovery That Challenges Everything You Know About Drugs and Society. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, as always, Flash Points with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, The Food Show keeps you on top of the news and issues surrounding the food on your plate. We want to also say that KBOO's Kickstarter is live. Go to kboo.fm/kickstarter and help KBOO build a city of media makers. That's kboo.fm/kickstarter to keep this vital community resource alive, well, and kicking. And let's go to our next caller. Joseph, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
As a member, I just want to thank you for these kinds of shows. And I want to start off by saying that I am a gun owner, but I am the type of gun owner that does not support the NRA. I'm not a hunter. I would if it was to provide for my family. Mm-hmm. The gun is kept under lock and key for defense of the household. Both my wife and I agree that if we heard somebody in the house, we would give them every chance we could to get out of the house and tell them that we had something waiting if they were to try to attack our family, because we don't want to be responsible for somebody's death. Mm-hmm. That said, I'm the father of an 8-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 32-year-old. And I have fears just like these people that have called before. I believe our society has slipped into a form of madness in that we have become so polite that we don't want to talk about the issues that need to be talked about. I mean, you can talk about how black people are treated by cops. You can talk about these senseless shootings. This started way back in the 60s when a man got up in a bell tower on the University of Texas and shot many people. So this has been going on for a long time. It's just ramped up with mm-hmm. this crazy defense of gun owners' rights over the rights of people to feel safe in our society. So I think it's just a symptom of a larger problem where we all act like sheeple and we're too afraid to offend, and we just need to band together, because very few of these people are the ones that want these rights. They're mostly white men. It's a small percentage of people, but they have too much power. So, and I'll
take the I just want to, can I put you on the spot and ask if you're going to be participating in any of these events coming up?
You bet I am. Awesome. I have children. My child is in a school where I fear, it's a small private school, a Waldorf school, that's under a church where they rent space. And I fear that some madman will find out that this school is under here. Mm. I have those same fears. Mm.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
I participate, and I belong to every town, and anything I can do and sign and That's donate awesome. To.
Excellent.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you.
Let's just go straight to our next caller, Thomas, I believe. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hello. There's been a lot of general talk about what can be done, but I'm wondering if your guests can kind of paint a scenario of what next could be done, not the protests and things like that and the activist efforts, but, you know, would there be a law passed to eliminate assault weapons or something like that? Because, you know, when I look at YouTube, I mean, this gun thing seems so massively out of control. I mean, they're making machine guns out mm-hmm. of pistols. You know, you can get little tiny parts and put it in there, and you buy yourself a Glock or something, and you've got a machine gun. You know, I mean, it seems so huge. I'm just wondering, can anything be done? I mean, I know we have to do something to appease ourselves that we're doing something, but what is going to put a dent in this? You know, something about school security or some legislation about controlling the sale or availability of guns. Can you kind of just give a little scenario of what you would like to see happen?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, and I can't speak to everybody, and I'm no gun expert, But doing anything, so starting with universal background checks, it floored me that there's no sort of main system, main like database that has registered gun owners like we have with people that drive cars. You know, there's nothing that that the government can just look up and see who has guns, what guns. I'm probably pretty far to the left, so I don't understand why we don't treat it like we treat having a car, you know, getting a license, being able to let the having Congress allow the CDC to study gun violence. I mean, there's so much that we don't know. But yeah, like you said, how people modify their guns to where they're even more deadly. I feel like that should be tracked. Bump stocks should not be allowed.
Trump is now weighed in on bump stocks.
And I kind of feel like that's due to those teenagers. You know, they've blanketed airwaves. They've been on every news organization. And he doesn't like to look bad. And so that I feel like is due to the teenagers. So I give them props.
Well, where's Oregon at on, say, assault rifles? You know?
And I don't even, like, what would we deem an assault rifle? So any semi-automatic?
Let's just start with fully automatic.
Well, I think those are illegal.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I'm assuming those machine guns and automatic weapons. Semi-automatics, for me, I don't understand why we need them. If you don't need it to hunt and provide for your family, you could use something else to, you know, protect your family in a home invasion. Right. So I feel like Oregon is probably better than other states, but, you know, I could be wrong.
Well, thank you, Thomas, for calling in. We got one more caller, and then we'll maybe hear from Suzanne again and wrap up. Go ahead. Who next caller, you're on the air. Oh, you're not on the air. I guess we lost that. James, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, here's the thing. We're looking at it from the wrong, at least from the wrong angle initially. I'm kind of late to the conversation, so I apologize. The one thing that is pervasive, because I was reading the Son of Baldwin article, and I really feel like it rings true. We have a three-prong issue. We have the culture surrounding guns, toxic masculinity. And then not only that, but we have the gun lobby. The gun lobby is the reason why the CDC can't study gun violence. Mm-hmm. So we have to defund the gun lobby. The same way we're doing with the BDS movement for Israel, we need to figure out who's supporting these gun lobbyists, and we need to defund them.
Yeah.
Because once we can get rid of the NRA and all these other gun lobbyists...
Or at least marginalize them to some extent, yeah.
And then... As far as toxic masculinity goes, this all comes back to the Second Amendment and the way that it's written. It doesn't mean we have the right to bear arms. What it says is necessary, a well-regulated militia necessary for the securing of a free state. The right to bear arms should not be infringed. These free militias, these well-regulated militias, were slave patrols. They were, because when Thomas, I think it was Thomas Jefferson, whoever was trying to get the Bill of Rights together to get everybody on the same page, these people were scared of free blacks. So they felt like they were going to be overrun, and so they needed to include this amendment in order to bring the Union together.
And at this moment, I'd like to cite this amazing new book, apparently, which I haven't read, but I've read about, Loaded, by the great Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, who talks a lot about the origins of the Second Amendment, and she's going to be on Positively Revolting talk show at this time from 8 to 9 on Friday, so you want to stay tuned for that.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's the Second Amendment, the way that it's written. That's why all these gun lobbyists are so pro-Second Amendment. It's not the right to bear arms necessarily so much as it is the right to maintain white supremacy. So... We have to understand that a well-regulated militia, because you notice that all these people who talk about the well-regulated militias taking up arms to protect themselves against quote-unquote governmental tyranny are on the same side as the police. The police are using these like the three percenters and the oath keepers in order to help bolster their numbers for people to be able to keep brown and black uprisings in check. So it has nothing to do with governmental tyranny. It has everything to do with maintaining white supremacy and keeping its place.
Well, James, you've brought up a lot of really important points. As usual, it seems like the caller who brings up widens the argument, often calls right at the end of the program, which is no fault of yours. But those are all, I'm really glad you called. That's important to hear. But we're just about out of time, so we're going to have to let you go. And maybe hear one last thought from Suzanne Cohen before we wrap up.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say, I'm also not a gun control expert. I'm quickly trying to learn, but there are a lot of common sense things that the majority of Americans actually agree on, and Sarah definitely mentioned some of them, but like a permit to purchase a gun, safe storage with complementary safety regulations. There could be background checks, waiting periods, monthly limits. We could do protection orders like the bill in Oregon to prevent people who have been convicted of domestic violence or on restraining orders from having guns. We could require insurance and immunity for like the product liability, definitely prohibiting semi-automatic modifications, military grade weapons or ammunition. We could be banning weapons from public places. Many states have banned that. Oregon has not changed that law yet from banning weapons from public places. And we could definitely, and Sarah talked about this, we should be tracking sales and doing more research. The NRA has made it difficult to even research what is happening around gun violence. And so I think all of those things make a lot of sense. And we just need to stop acting like this isn't, that this is some political partisan thing. When kids are being shot at schools, we have to do something.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in and participating, Suzanne Cohen, president of the Portland Association of Teachers. It's an important perspective to have in this conversation. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Suzanne.
Thank you.
And we've only got a minute left, so any last thoughts from you two?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Always a hard one.
I just think focusing on, I also believe there's some breakdown of family, and love. And if we can focus on that love and our family and caring for each other, bring all those morals back, and then we can all come together. I just really believe in starting with ourselves, working together, work our way to the top. That's kind of where I'm coming from.
And I would hope that this turning point is for, it's so divisive these days with politics. It would be nice if the right and the left could come together on this.
And agree. Nobody wants to see their kids shot. So yeah. Let's come together with this.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's a good note to end on. And I thank you both so much for
Thanks so
taking
much.
Thank you so much.
Time out of your day and on this snowy day with school. Okay, this is Paul Rome with Wednesday Talk Radio.
See the sun doing through, but in my humble opinion, here's what I suggest we do. Open fire on Hollywood, open fire.